Last week, we ended off with a question. If the Haftarah that deals with Arias is so difficult and so sharp, why do we choose that topic at all? There are so many other mitzvahs in Kedoshim. Why focus specifically on this one? According to Rashi, the answer is fairly straightforward. Rashi explains that the opening mitzvah of Kedoshim is really a warning to separate from Arias. In that sense, Kedoshim is a continuation of Achrimais, which ends with the parasha of Arias. And in fact, Kedoshim itself also concludes with Arias. So according to Rashi, this is the central thread running through both parashas. And if that is the central theme of the parashas, then it makes perfect sense for the Haftarah to focus on that as well. This also explains why we read the Haftarah of Achrimais, even though we have just finished Kedoshim, because the two parashas are so deeply connected. According to the Ramban, however, that is not enough. The Ramban explains that the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu is much broader. It is a sweeping command to live with restraint, to limit our pursuit of the pleasures of this world, and to orient ourselves towards Ruchnius. If so, why should the Haftarah single out Arias? Perhaps the answer is that the punishment for Arias is so extraordinarily severe that the Navi must stress that this sin is a special one. The Mishnah in Avos, Perek Hei, Mishnah Tes, tells us that this avera causes galus. Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel tells us in Yisrael Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yud Gimel, that it brings Magefa. And the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, says that in a certain respects, its punishment is even more severe than that of the Dor HaMarbel. In the generation of the flood, people, animals, and birds were destroyed, but the fish survived. But in the case of Arias, even the fish will die. So perhaps that is why the Haftarah stresses this sin in particular, because the consequences are so severe that the warning must be equally forceful. This week's parashas is Emor, which deals with the special mitzvahs that apply to Kahanim. So the Haftarah as well deals with the special mitzvahs of Kahanim. It opens by speaking about Kahanim Halevim B'nei Tzadok. Even though Navi is clearly referring to Kahanim, they are called Levim, because as the Gemara tells us in Yevamos, Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, Kahanim are called Levim in 24 places. Earlier in Sefer Yecheskel, the Navi disqualified any Kohen who have served Avodah Zarah from serving again in the Beis HaMikdash. Now he tells us that the descendants of Tzadik are the ones chosen by Hashem to serve. Rashi explains that Tzadik was the first Kohen Gadol in the first Beis HaMikdash, and therefore these Kahanim are honored with the distinction of being called his descendants. Yecheskel then discusses the proper way to wear Bigdei Kahuna, emphasizing that the Avnet is worn on the waist. The Kahanim are to wear garments made of Pishtim linen. Rashi explains this refers specifically to Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol wore linen garments for the special Avodah of the day. The Radak, however, explains that this refers to the future, when all Kahanim will serve regularly in linen garments. The Kahanim would remove the Big Kahuna when they ascend the Duchen for Birchas Kahanim. This was in order to prevent the masses from touching the Bigdei Kahuna. Even though everyone in the Azor was Tahar, the Kahanim possessed a higher level of Tahara, and if someone were to touch the Bigdei Kahuna, they would render them Tameh. Kahanim were required to cut the hair every 30 days. That was not an ordinary haircut, but a very particular style known as lulanis. It was extremely intricate and time-consuming. Each hair was cut with such precision that the tip of one hair reached the root of the next, creating a perfectly even covering across the scalp. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis that Ben Alaasa, the son-in-law of Rebbe, paid a large amount of money in order to master the technique of this haircut. The Navi then continues with the Isser against drinking wine before performing the Avodah, and the prohibition against a Kohen marrying a divorced woman or a widow. However, if the woman's deceased husband was himself a Kohen, then that widow may marry a Kohen. The Kahanim are entrusted with the sacred mission of teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael. This idea is already expressed by Moshe Rabbeinu, who says, Yoiru mishpatecha liyakod v'sarasecha liyisrael. Kahanim may not become exposed to Tumas Meis except for their closest relatives, parents, siblings, and children. The Navi does not mention the seventh relative, namely the wife. The Chassam Sofer explains that since these Kahanim married only women from the family of Tzadok, we can assume that the wife's parents are already no longer alive. Her brothers cannot become tummy for her because she is married. If her husband as well would be unable to become tummy for her, she would effectively be a meis mitzvah, for whom even any kohen may become tameh. So it is obvious, the Chassam Sofer says, that the husband must be permitted to become tummy for her, and therefore the pasuk does not need to say it explicitly. There are many gifts given to the Kohanim, so they can devote themselves fully to Avodas Hashem. These include the remains of the Mincha, the Chatas, and Asham, as well as Challah, Truma, Bikurim, Cherem. By giving these gifts properly, a person brings bracha into his home. Finally, the Navi concludes with the Isser against eating Nevela or Trefa. Earlier, we discussed the Gemara in Menachos Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, which asks the obvious question. This Isser applies to all Yidden, so why does the Navi single out the Kahanim? Rabbi Yochanan says that the Yahu will one day explain this Pasuk. Ravina says that the warning is necessary specifically for Kahanim because Kahanim are permitted to eat Malika, which technically has the status of a Nevela. One might therefore assume that all forms of Nevela are permitted to Kahanim. The Navi teaches that this is not so. All other forms of Nevela remain Asur. The Chassam Sofer explains that there is really no disagreement here. Eliyahu himself was a Kohen, as the Gemara says in Bab Metzia Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, and in Chulin Daf Hey Amud Aleph, we find that when Eliyahu was hiding from Izevel, the ravens brought him meat from Achav's kitchen. Now Achav served Avodah Zarah, and therefore his shechita was invalid. Yet Hashem commanded Eliyahu to eat that meat. That gave people even more reason to think that Kohanim might generally be permitted to eat Nevela. And that is why Yecheskel needs to emphasize that Nevela remains Aser to Kohanim in the ordinary case. I heard the following from my Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Reis Mishlita. Let me end with a quick thought that comes from the Haftarah. When we benched, we say, Harachamun Yavarech Oisiv Es Ishti. And the question is obvious. Why specifically, when a person is benching, does he use a Lashon Shel Bracha for himself and his household? Anytime a person does a mitzvah, he should seemingly be able to say the same thing. When a person recounts Sfira, he should say, Arachim Yivarech Oisiv Ishti. When a person shakes a lulav, he should say, Arachim Yivarech Oisiv Ishti. Rav Chaim Kanevsky, Zatzal, in his Perish Anach, in Sefer Taima Dekra, on Yecheskel Mem Dalad Amud Beis, page 369, finds a source for this from this week's Haftarah. At the end of Haftarah, which deals with the mitzvahs relating to Kohanim, we find the mitzvah of Challah, Vereishis Arisoiseichem Titnu Lakoyen. And there the Pasuk says, Laniach Bracha El Beisecha. Giving Challah brings Bracha to the home. In fact, many women specifically want to separate Challah because it is a source of blessing for the house. So Reb Chaim Kanevsky explains that since we only bench after eating bread, and the normal preparation of bread involves the separating of Challah, and since the Pasuk says, Titnu Lakoyen Laniach Bracha El Beisecha, that is why after benching, we say Arachim and asking Hashem to bring blessing to our home. We know that there are 10 mitzvahs associated with bread before it is fully prepared. That is why the bracha of a Maisi Lechem and Aretz has 10 words. And that is why there is a minhag to hold the bread with all 10 fingers. As if to say, I'm eating bread that passed through 10 mitzvahs before it got to me. And among those mitzvahs is Challah. So the mitzvah of Challah becomes the catalyst. The reason, after eating bread and saying Birchas Hamazon, we ask Hashem for a bracha in the home. And that leaves us with one final question. The Navi lists 7 Matnas Kahuna and says that through distributing them properly to Kahanim, a person brings bracha into his home. But altogether, there are 24 gifts of Matnas Kahuna. So what is unique about these 7? Have a wonderful Shabbos.